through tendering, but also to support the entrepreneurship activities. But we also had another eye in terms of making sure that the targeted beneficiaries are also assisted in terms of compliance issues, in as far as administrative and technical challenges that they might come across, especially in the environment where one had to tender. Whilst they are experiencing challenges, then we were also there to support them, but also to do that quite proactively. But we also were very much interested in terms of conducting assessments for both SMMEs and cooperatives to check their level of readiness to participate in the supply chain processes. But at the same time, we're also creating awareness that will lead to enterprise development within Sanitary Dignity Program. So in other words, we're not just concentrating on those who are already in the space, but we also had a mandate to assist those who really want to enter this space. And I think we call them new entrants. The other objective was also to assist them to unbundle opportunities within the program. And as I've already alluded to, the program itself, in terms of the value chain, it starts with those who really want to be in the value chain by just a way of picking up maybe on the procurement opportunities as they see it, but also those who would really just want to be in the brokerage space, if I can put it that way, by just doing the purchasing and sourcing of the product from those who are already established in the market. But we also highlighted the fact that in terms of the product itself, once purchased or sourced, there's also a growth path in the space of transportation thereof, but also there's also a growth path in those who really want to just to participate in the storage aspect of the business, and also an opportunity for those who may want to trade at a level, or maybe perhaps at the level of packaging, and also lots of other opportunities around the distribution of the product, as well as waste management, and the list could be endless. Now, we were very thorough from the word go as the department to then say, we were not going to achieve this alone. Therefore, we had gone into partnerships with various key stakeholders by way of collaboration. And as you would notice on the key partners list, the idea was that we would collaborate with all the key partners from national as well as provincial and as well as districts. But the responsibility of bringing districts on board relied very much with the provincial departments by way of inviting them. But critical in terms of opening up or broadening the economic opportunities which were going to be availed by this program was to take the DTIC, Department of Trade and Industry, together with us, as well as small business, and together with their implementing agencies, as some of them are mentioned there, key to them would have been the South African Bureau of Standards, and as well as the other financing agencies that report to the DTIC or small business, the likes of your SIDA, as well as SIFA. But also, we were very cognizant that we really needed also technical expertise, and you could see that we also roped in United Nations organizations like your UN Women, and you'll also later on realize that we're also collaborating now quite recently with the United Nations Population Fund. But at a provincial level, we've mentioned all the critical departments at a provincial level that collaborated with us. You will therefore realize that the stakeholder in terms of provincial government department would vary from education to the Department of the Premier or Premier's Office, social development, as well as education, and to some degree, economic development. That really sort of gives you a glimpse in terms of where the program lies in various departments in terms of coordination. But you also see that right on the at the bottom of the list, there's an AfriBiz Foundation, which we also had to partner with because we realized that they had expertise in terms of assisting our targeted groups, which are SMMEs and cooperatives, which are women-owned and managed, in terms of establishing themselves, particularly or primarily in the manufacturing space, because we realize that in order to change or disrupt the monopoly which currently exists in the main, we really have to get our targeted groups in the form of women, youth, and persons with disability to be manufacturers themselves of the product. Going to the next slide, it's really just to highlight some of the findings from the workshops that were conducted across the 9 provinces. Market access and participation within the value chain was a very challenging, as there were a recognition or maybe an observation that currently is being dominated by conglomerates. The other area of challenging was the intellectual property theft, which was very rife, according to what the targeted groups were telling us, in terms of they would be requested sometimes, or maybe perhaps proactively, they will take their business idea to those who would claim that, or maybe perhaps hoping that they will get assistance, only to find that they get rejected. But fast forward 3 months or a year down the line, they find that their idea is being like traded by somebody else. The other challenging aspect was the issue of poor infrastructure or in its unavailability, which really became a hindering factor, because they also realized that particularly in areas which are townships and rural areas where the majority of them really wanted to trade from, there isn't adequate infrastructure, or let alone just mere infrastructure in terms of the built infrastructure where they could operate from. The other area of challenging, which we also identified through them, was that the production of sanitary products is capital intensive, and therefore it requires technical expertise, maybe perhaps of the highest order. And without the capital and that expertise which is required, the women, the youth, and the persons with disabilities, they found it very onerous to participate or make a meaningful participation or contribution or take their space within the value chains that I've already alluded to. The other challenge that was identified was that there is a need for government to roll out sector-specific or targeted interventions that will address skills development to ensure that increased development of enterprises owned by women, youth, and persons with disabilities, and promote entrepreneurial skills through upskilling them. The other challenge was that most of the entrepreneurs that attended the workshops were not aware of the South African Bureau of Standards and the issue of approved standards pertaining to sanitary pads. And that's very critical, because if you really wanted to put your product on the shelf of any retail stores or whichever vehicle they were going to use to get their product to the market, the product had to be accredited first. The other challenge was access to finance for SMMEs has been limited due to the inability for them to provide a collateral or a lease agreement for land or industrial building. And I think it's a point that I also alluded to in the previous slide as well. Now, arising from the challenges, definitely our work as government and through our department, we had touched no less than 1,041 participants across all provinces that we supported in terms of information sharing and capacity building through workshops. Now, our area of intervention, the SDP value chain opportunities have been highlighted to them across the value chain, as I've already alluded, that really started with just me explaining what is it, the do's and don'ts and the compliance issues around procurement, if they want to trade with a government department or a state enterprise, but also highlighting opportunities that is presented by the sanitary dignity in around the purchasing of the products, as well as the transportation, storage, distribution to schools, disposal, waste management, and also not forgetting the safe storage of such products. A list of ready-to-trade enterprises, of cooperatives, as well as SMMEs, has been developed from these workshops and will be used to provide capacity building and other enterprise development support. Capacity building provided to date, I can report back to the members of the portfolio committee to say the South African Bureau of Standards, through that partnership, has supported 9 enterprises in the sanitary dignity industry with gap testing, as well as gap analysis, including standards and awareness. Portfolio members would be very much aware of the fact that these are necessary things to do, because without a tested product and also without a full understanding in terms of the supply and demand issues of the market, and also supported by having achieved the necessary accreditation in terms of standards, there was no way that some of these SMMEs that we are reporting back to, as well as including cooperatives, would have been afforded the opportunity to trade. Now, the SMMEs supported were from Gauteng province, Eastern Cape, Free State, as well as KwaZulu-Natal. These being brand owners of disposable sanitary products, it's important to highlight that none of the 9 were manufacturers. And that's where, if we want to disrupt the monopoly hold on this, the focus needs to be. But as we've already highlighted, it's not an easy area to enter into, because it's high capital intensive in terms of resources and investment that is required. The Gauteng Department of Social Development has provided support to cooperatives, which includes businesses and technical support. And the very Department of Social Development in Gauteng has successfully managed to purposely create government procurement opportunities for small enterprises owned by women, as well as youth and persons with disabilities, so that they're able to participate in the school uniform project. And I must indicate here that we really took the Gauteng Department of Social Development across all 9 provinces, because we felt that they could really be a very exemplary and maybe perhaps the best benchmark in terms of other provinces to follow the model that they implemented in Gauteng, without really enforcing, right, what to do, how to do, but maybe perhaps from a perspective where they could share the best practice. The South African Bureau of Standards, through funding from the United Nations Population Fund, it's just a typo there, has provided a 2-day online training on the 1st and the 2nd of October, which really was attended by 40 participants, or 40 participants benefited from it. It was an important training because it dealt with issues of introduction to manufacturing, as I've already alluded that if we get manufacturing right, it will be the bedrock of getting more women, young people, as well as persons with disability to participate quite meaningfully in the value chain. But also they were trained in terms of also doing, or maybe getting exposure of sanitary pads, which in the market they are known as reusable and washable towels. In conclusion thereof, the department will continue to collaborate with various key stakeholders, some of them that we've already highlighted and some of them that we are still going to form partnerships, to respond quite responsively to the challenges noted from the workshops. And during the medium-term strategic framework, the target is to coordinate the implementation of 16 interventions. And some of these interventions will seek to address the issues raised in the findings. That includes, for example, capacity building on substandards, that also include compliance issues in terms of making sure that the product that these women, youth, and persons with disabilities, in terms of their product production, they do meet the required goods standards as well as service standards. Training on intellectual property, it's also something that is in the pipeline. We are working with CIFA and NEF as well as the IDC to fund, or possibly to find ways of how to fund some of these enterprises owned by women, youth, and persons with disability, and provide financial literacy training. Plans are also underway between the UN Women, CEDA, and women and the department to roll out a 12-month training program to support entrepreneurship, within the Sanitary Dignity Program. Plans are also underway in collaboration with the presidency to implement a training program that would also capacitate women to be ready to participate in the public procurement space so that they're able to benefit to the extent of the pronouncement made by the president in SONA of the 40% set aside that is really geared towards the empowerment of women, youth, and persons with disabilities enterprises. I would really want to thank the members of the portfolio committee, and I think my presentation ends right there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. We are done from our side. There was just one addition that I omitted to mention, Chairperson. The interventions that we embarked upon during COVID-19. Members will note that the schools were shut down as well in an effort to curb the spread of the virus, but to deal with issues of health. But that had unintended consequences to the girl children that ordinarily were receiving the sanitary supply from the schools. We then partnered with UNFPA, your Water Aid, Footprints Foundation, Langelihle Foundation as well. We reached out to most of these schools. We provided not only the sanitary, a range of sanitary products. Amongst it's the sanitary towel itself, soap, bottled water, mask, a pamphlet on COVID-19, but also pamphlets that seek to educate the girl children around issues of menstrual health management. So that was quite helpful. We are beginning to see the schools now coming on board and beginning to address the whole issue again of distribution. But during COVID-19, we had to come up with a plan as a department, and we took that initiative, and we were really supported by the development partners and private sector in this regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DG, and your officials, DG.
Thank you.
I think, honourable members, I have many questions. You know, listening to the last presenter, he was mentioning that you are working with UN partners. But I don't know exactly that what is it that you're working with UN partners? What exactly are you doing with UN partners? Because I'm listening to you, or whether you are trying to tell us as the committee that you are using UN consultant companies or what? I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking you. And then coming to the manufacturing of sanitary pads that needs technical skills, finance, and so on. You know, if I may ask you as a department, do you think you've achieved your social transformation and economic empowerment so far? With the presentation that you're presenting to us today, do you think you have achieved your social transformation and economic empowerment of our women, youth, and persons with disabilities? Coming with, going to the training, the online training. The online training is meant for who? The elite. Or is meant for women, youth, and persons with disabilities in the rural areas. How does a person who stays in a rural area is able to participate in that training? Because, you know, I was just listening to your presentation, and I'm busy asking myself, all these programs, do you have at the back of your mind that it must benefit the disadvantaged people in the rural areas Oh, you are thinking of people who are living in the urban areas. Because when you do the presentation and I'm listening to you and I'm reading your report, I don't see a person living in Msinga where there's no network will be able to participate or to attend to do an online training because there's a problem of a networks in those areas. But also, if the president was pronounced on a 50% beneficiation of our people, you know, of our women, youth, and persons with disabilities, you know, I'm asking myself, but how do you achieve that, Nina, as a department? Looking at your report, you haven't finished your M&E strategy. How do you monitor provinces? Why were you not able to see that there is corruption in KZN? If Nina, you are doing a monitoring. When last did you speak to the Gauteng department in checking the programs that they have, the one that you are talking about now? You know, last week I was talking to the MEC of Social Development in Gauteng. I was asking her about that program. I went to check one a cooperative in Daveyton, which was manufacturing a sanitary dignity pads. And those women, they told me that they're no longer getting support. So what are you talking about when you're talking about Gauteng? When you are benchmarking, you want to benchmark this program with the best practices that are done in Gauteng. In Gauteng, if you can go check what is happening now and what you are presenting to us, it's an opposite. You know, I'm worried. Your M&E framework is still not finalized. I think I've spoken to that one, and I said, how do you monitor and evaluate the rollout of this program in provinces in absence of the finalized framework? Last week you were here you were with us. You were presenting something and we were asking you about your advert of nomination of people to serve in the Board of Trustees for for GBV. And we say you yourself, all the things that you don't have a structure, you don't have any, most of the things are not completed. And we were asking you, why do you advertise when you have not completed everything? You come again. This was said that this this framework, the sanitary dignity framework, was approved somewhere in 2018, 2019, if I'm not mistaken. But again, we are seeing here in your report, it says it was approved last month, September 2020. When was it approved exactly? We have seen that in provinces, there's no uniformity in terms of this program. And we have seen that in some of the provinces, they are not even achieving. You know, I get worried more when in your report you are even saying the non-achievement, one way or the other, it was due to COVID-19. You know, if my memory is good, I think the issue of COVID-19 when the lockdown was announced by the state president, it was this year, 2020 March, I think somewhere around the 26th or 28th, if I'm not mistaken. So what was happening in 2019? Why is this program not benefiting the intended beneficiaries? We are not concerned about the people who are poor, who are expected to be benefiting from this good program that the government has initiated. Why? Why are you not worried? Why are you not finalizing your MNE framework to monitor this program? Because this program is supposed to be one of your priorities. Because most of the girls, they are menstruating, fitting at most. Our girls are menstruating every month. During lockdown, I saw one program, if I'm not mistaken, where your department was launching something of pets, and I saw Minister, and at that time, Shoghi was the acting DG of the department. So during lockdown, what were you doing? What was happening to those girls? You know, when one is listening to the presentation and reading what is written here, this thing is like, if one can say, maybe let's take a resolution and say, government must institute a forensic investigation in all provinces on what exactly this money is doing in all provinces. You'll find that there's a lot that is happening here. Just from this report from the department. Let me hand over to honorable members. Honorable members, can I get your hands? Honorable Masiko, Honorable Mpiti, Honorable Masondo, Honorable Sheriff, Mr. IT, I can't see other hands of honorable members. The last hand that I see is Honorable Sheriff. I don't know whether Honorable Weber, Honorable Ngobo, Honorable Maluleka, Mam Hlengwa. I can see Mam Hlengwa's hand is up. I don't see whether Mam Kaula, if she wants to speak or what. These are the only members that I see now. So can honorable members indicate to me if they want to speak so that I cannot leave other members out? Over to you, Honorable Masiko.
Chair, my hand is up, Honorable Song.
Okay.
And Honorable Ngobo.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to your good selves, honorable members, and the department, as well as the support staff. I think, Chair, you've really captured the concerns that one is having with regards to the full implementation and the rollout of the Sanitary Dignity Campaign in provinces. I think as a portfolio committee, we have over time, when the department has presented itself to the portfolio committee, raised some of these concerns with regards to the manner in which the program is being rolled out in provinces. I would like to start, Chairperson, with the last presentation that we have received. And for me, you have correctly captured what really should be concerning us as the portfolio committee. And that speaks to the benefits of the women, as well as young women, with regards to the entire economic value chain. And for me, Chairperson, I would like to also start with the issue that we have seen that we are projecting that we are almost or maybe 50% of women must benefit from this program. And for me, that is not enough, because here the women are the users of this program. And I don't see why not we can even go for an 80% or 100% and say that women must fully benefit from the economic value chain for this program. The second question or concern that one would like to know, Chairperson, is that we understand that there is the program has been going on in provinces for quite some time. I think we're on the third year now, if not the fourth, and money has been spent. I am interested to find out that so far, how much has been spent on the rolling out of the Sanitary Dignity Campaign in provinces? And from that entire amount of money, how much has benefited women? I hear that there is a very good presentation that has been given on the investment that has been made to ensure that women are fully capacitated to participate and benefit from the economic spin-off. But for me, I would like to know that when then are we expecting to get the return on investment? Because the report that we are getting here is that women have been trained, this has been done to ensure that they are part of the manufacturing and all of that. But how then, or when do we expect this return on investment is going to take place? And lastly, on the issue of the beneficiation of women, in terms of the partnership, you know, we do have the National Youth Development Agency as part of the Department of Women, and I'm really concerned that there's nothing that we're hearing with regards to any form of partnership that is happening with the National Youth Development Agency to capacitate young women to fully, be able to reap the economic spin-offs from the value chain. So it's important for us to hear if there are any talks or any partnership that will be taking place with the National Youth Development Agency. The second issue is on the funding and the coordination of this program in provinces, Chairperson. I would like to know that how then is the department being able to monitor and evaluate the expenditure in provinces. We know that it's good that we receive reports, but and we have been receiving reports on how the department is working with provinces. But to our shock, we then hear that there is a lot that is happening in provinces that is working against what the program is intended to do. One such instance is the province of KwaZulu-Natal, where there has been massive looting of funds for this program, as well as issues that have been raised by schools, as well as the OSATU, you know, in relation to the disturbance that this program is bringing to schools, which also speaks to the issue of the lack of proper coordination in relation to the implementation of the program. So I'm actually concerned that, you know, the department is not really picking up on those issues, that what lessons can we learn from when the program has been implemented, and the issues that have been raised around the issue of corruption, as well as the the lack of proper implementation in provinces. You know, there have been concerns around how in some schools the sanitary towels are taking up a lot of space. They are also taking these sanitary towels to high schools. You know, there's not, you know, equitable distribution to schools and provinces. So you did raise the issue of the monitoring and evaluation, Chairperson, and I think it's important for us to get a full report on that. The other question is that DDG had raised the issue of, you know, everything, you know, in relation to the role of the treasurer. And for me, it is a concern, because to a certain extent, the department reports to us in relation to the role of the treasurer and how the treasurer then is distributing these funds to provinces. We will need to get a report on that. In relation to the increases of funds that they're giving to provinces, how have they come to the amount that they will be giving to provinces? What informs the equitable share to provinces? And I think we'll need to get the report from provinces and from Treasury. And in relation to that as well, Chairperson, I think it is quite a concern that even till today, we are not able to really put our finger on which is the implementing department in provinces. We are still having in other provinces the premier's offices, in other provinces the Department of Education, and in other provinces the Department of Social Development. So I don't understand that as much as we are moving with the program, but to this stage we are unable to account for which provinces will be rolling out this program in. Which departments will be rolling out the program in provinces. I think, Chairperson, let me stop there, and I'll pick up on other issues if they have not been raised by the colleagues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Masiko. Honourable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair, and a very good morning to everybody on the call. Chair, I'm not going to switch on my video. I'm just experiencing a bit of network issues. So I hope you don't mind. Chair, thank you so much. I think you have articulated exactly how I was feeling and what I was thinking in relation to the documents that we received, as well as the presentations that we've just heard. Chair, I'm really going to go back to my comments that I made on Friday last week. And those comments related to the monitoring and evaluation aspect of how the department continues to plan and to put documents together, but there seems to be a gap in the monitoring and evaluation of some of these projects and some of the work that the department is doing. And our colleagues will remember last week the DDG had explained to us that there are different levels of programmatic aspects to monitoring and evaluation. And so one of the things that was important that I raised on that particular Friday, Chair, was that, you know, we were talking about the gender responsive framework and how it's going to be monitored. And so I raised this very same point to say that if we are failing to implement the sanitary project plan correctly in provinces, then indeed we are not going to be successful in implementing a framework at a national level where we are holding departments to account on budgetary requirements, on different aspects that these particular departments need to deliver to ensure that there is, you know, a streamlining of gender issues within our departments. And so, you know, when I hear the challenges that this particular project has faced, it takes me back to those particular comments that it does not seem that the department has a clear M&E structure in place to monitor the success and the uniformity of these projects in terms of provinces. I have not been able to hear exactly how the department has tried to actually mitigate some of these challenges so that there is uniformity, because uniformity is very important, Chair. We cannot want to deliver online projects to particular provinces, noting in fact that in many provinces there's rural areas that exist. There are people who are far away from connectivity, far away from computers and accessing the internet. So it's very problematic to hear that, you know, not much has been done to try to mitigate this particular issue. And so if we are struggling now to get to a place of uniformity with this project, it makes me wonder how far is the framework itself that was presented last week is going to get. Because if we are not going to be able to have key M&E structures put in place to understand where the gaps are so that we can deal with it, then effectively we stay in the same place. Now, the other question that comes up is, do departments actually know what they should be doing? And who exactly in the department is monitoring what the departments are doing and evaluating the work that the departments are doing, and whether that particular work is the same type of work that is happening in every other province? I don't think that is clear at this point. I think there's huge problems with this particular project. Again, we don't know who are the officials in the department that are actually tasked with following up these particular issues and ensuring that the programmatic aspects of this project are being implemented within the department. So I really do believe, Chair, that a lot more work needs to go forward. And I would really like to hear from the DG as well, is that from the experiences and the challenges that have been faced, in particular with the sanitary program, how exactly is it going to be different from the framework? And I asked this on Friday, and I'm asking it again, because clearly we can see that there's a lack of uniformity, there's a lack of consequence management, there's a lack of any form of consequence management when it comes to departments not implementing the National Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities plans. And if they don't implement, what happens then? So these things need to be built into the accountability aspects of these projects. They need to be built into the monitoring and evaluation of these projects so that they can be uniformity. And I think we need to learn from this particular project how we're going to be different with the framework. And it cannot be the same type of documents that are presented, you know, that are not completed. There's still a lot of gaps. And then we want to push through things into you know, the approval of this committee and want these things to be approved. But yet there's still so many gaps. And if we as the committee do not understand how some of these things are going to work, it takes us back to the question of how will departments actually implement things that they also don't understand. Because if this committee doesn't understand, how will other departments understand what needs to be done? So, Chair, I really, to be honest with you, I'm very disappointed. And I really need the department now to actually give us how they're going to mitigate these challenges. And they need to link it back to the framework, because these are the same issues that the framework is going to experience when it goes to other departments and when we want to hold these departments to account in implementing the different aspects that was presented to us previously. So, Chair, I will stop there. I think I was covered a lot by everything that you said, but I really think to the Minister, we really need urgent intervention, critical intervention, because at this point, young people, women, persons who are living with disabilities in this country are being left behind by these projects. They are being left behind by these plans. These plans are not reaching them. These plans do not see them. They do not hear them. And in fact, these plans don't make these people know that they matter to this department. And up until we've been able to answer these questions, do you see them? Do you hear them? Do they matter? If we cannot answer those three questions in these plans that we are presenting, then they are not going to work. So we need to understand, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the measuring of impact. But how do you measure impact when many schools are still left behind? Many schools still do not have the requisite resources. Departments are not implementing correctly. There's corruption in departments. So what exactly are we measuring at this point? So we need to understand that if we're going to measure impact, there needs to be a strong mechanism of M&E in the department to ensure that what has been decided, what has been planned, is happening. And if it's not, there needs to be measures put in place to ensure accountability is taking place. And if there isn't those frameworks, we need to put them in, because I'm not hearing how exactly the department has tried to mitigate the lack of uniformity in the different provinces. So we need those answers, because we also need to account to our constituencies and be able to explain exactly why these things are not happening. So, Chair, I'd really like us to get those answers from the department. And if not, if we cannot get through to all the answers today, then we need to schedule another meeting so that we can get these answers, because we cannot keep on having meetings where our questions are not answered. Our questions are answered in a very academic way, like what happened last week Friday, where we were told and explained about the differences of programmatic elements between province and national. We are not here to be lectured. We are here to actually understand how the work is taking place on the ground, to where it matters the most to our constituencies. So, Chair, please, can we get those answers? And I'd really also like to hear from the Minister what exactly she's going to do to ensure that these issues that we are raising as a committee are being dealt with. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Mpiti. And maybe they must also explain to us and on why are they using consultants for just a simple program of sanitary dignity, a program. Why? The next honorable member is honorable, I think it's honorable Masondo.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I want to greet you all, Chairperson and the members, the minister, the deputy minister in absentia. Noting the report, but I have some questions. The first question is, could the department not identify red flags that pointed to serious lack of implementation during the quarter? If so, how were these dealt with? The second question, how was the department monitoring and evaluation of the rollout of the sanitary dignity program in provinces given the overall poor performance by end of 2019-2020? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masondo. Honorable Sharif.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all honorable members. Chairperson, I think that colleagues before me has captured my mood. I think whenever the department comes to present to this committee, it's always a frustrating experience. When speaking about the MNE framework, Chairperson, I want to find out how it's possible that the department comes today and says that they do not have capacity to be able to formulate their own MNE framework. When the department has such a, most of the department's work relies heavily on monitoring and evaluation, as Honorable Mpiti pointed out. Chairperson, we have to also note, and we've raised this many a times in this committee, that this department has a bloated workforce. They have many officials in the program and sub-program between 2 and 5. I'd like to know what exactly these officials are doing. If you cannot even get people capacitated and trained to do an MNE framework, that then begs the question that what training has officials gone through, especially with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, to do this job that they are essentially mandated to do? Chairperson, I want to find out about the disposal of sanitary products and how that has been part of the value chain. I wanted to find out from the DG and the DDG, are there any innovative ideas around recyclable products? Instead of using disposable sanitary products that takes 500 to 800 years to decompose, surely there must be some ideas and innovative solutions to look at this to be more environmentally friendly. Chairperson, can you imagine one sanitary disposable pad takes 500 to 800 years to decompose, and they are difficult to recycle because they're manufactured with plastic around the pad and the tampon as well. Chairperson, when it comes to the value chain, I wanted to find out if the department can forward a list to the committee of all the suppliers, the manufacturers, the distributors, broken down by demographics per province, as well as the price that government is paying per pad. If we can get that information for the committee, that would be really, really nice. I also wanted to find out, how does the department ensure that they reach as many people as possible in informing them on how to get involved in the value chain? Chairperson, you raised it that 40 people in comparison to the population size we have in this country is unacceptable. How is it possible that the department and the SADS can only reach 40 people when we have so many unemployed women, young people and persons living with disabilities in this country, and then the department comes and boasts about having an online training with only 40 people? That is unacceptable. So what is the department doing to ensure that that women, youth, and people with disabilities are aware of the opportunities that presents themselves with the sanitary dignity framework? It's one thing, Chairperson, to say, oh, we're making these opportunities available, da-da-da-da-da, and it's another thing for them to implement it and we actually see change on the ground. A framework, a policy means nothing, Chairperson, if there's no implementation and no monitoring and evaluation. How do we know that it works? Do we just take provinces' word for it, or do we actually go and do the work ourselves and make sure that everything is happening? This is the mandate of the department chairperson. This is what they are meant to do. What is their role if they cannot simply do a monitoring and evaluation on their own plans that they are putting out to provinces? Chairperson, I wanted to find out, and I want the department to list it to us with names of who were the beneficiaries during lockdown. How many young women received sanitary products during lockdown? It's one thing again to say we've made plans, we have partnerships to do this. How many people did you reach? How many young girls benefited from this per province countrywide? Chairperson, and my last question is to the department. It's a simple yes or no question, and I really appreciate an answer. Was the budget for sanitary products in Gauteng moved to be used for food parcels during lockdown? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheriff. In fact, you are 100% correct that one of the mandates of the department is to monitor, do monitoring of other departments. But you know, I'm worried, like yourself, if most of the time the monitoring and evaluation framework are not concluded. It's not for the first time. Even last year, we've been hearing these stories. Even the previous term, you know, the researchers were telling us as members of the portfolio committee that this has been a challenge. And I'm sure today we are going to get the right answer on why are we having all officials who are supposed to be doing that work, and that work is not done. Honorable, I think it's Honorable Songo. Oh, Mam Sengwa first. Mam Sengwa, I think it's Mam Sengwa. And then Honorable Song.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. One will accept the presentation, although there is some gaps and unsatisfactory. Let me start by this. What exactly is the department doing to address the huge gap in addressing water supply, sanitation and hygiene in relation to this project in rural areas? There is no indication in the presentation of the steps taking this lack of details in concerning. In terms of the provinces, are they all implementing this project in the same way, or others are doing in their own way? Because in terms of the other departments, what are they doing in order to come across in this project? Because this project is a concern of all departments, but in your presentation, one did not catch up what other department doing to come across with this project. In the absence of M&E, that is a big worry. What tools department is using to measure and evaluate the progress in the provinces in the absence of M&E? What tool are you using as a department to measure those progress? Lastly, there is a big worry of the provinces. One will use 25% and one not using at all. They deprive our people in the rural areas. They deprive them because of not using the allocation they have given by the Treasury. What department do about that? Because the department knows that some province used 25% and some did not use it at all. What is the department use about that? Or what tool are you using to frustrate this so that the people of those provinces are benefiting out of this? Lastly, what exactly department is going to do about the corruption in the KZN? Because it's a big, big, big corruption. What department is doing about that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Songo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if you note, the questions that are raised here today are questions that have been raised before. And the only thing the department must choose to is strengthening its monitoring systems, because, Chair, this program is not assisting the people it's supposed to be assisting. People in rural areas are not aware there's even such a program. Also, Chair, how were these sanitary pads distributed during level 5 and level 4 of lockdown when kids were not at school at all? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Songo. Honorable Ngobo and Honorable Elsile.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also think that the department has failed to properly monitor this sanitary dignity project and to ensure that women, youth, and persons with disabilities are benefiting in the value chain is really concerning. We all know that persons with disabilities, and that includes women with disabilities, are still left far behind in terms of their participation in the mainstream economy. And so when you have a project like this, which targets women with disabilities as one of the main beneficiaries in the value chain, and you see those women not benefiting, it is really disappointing. So what I would like to know is if the department is in a position to tell us exactly how many women with disabilities have actually benefited in the value chain from this project. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Ngobo. Honorable Delsine.
Ngiyabonga kakhulu, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity. It's sometimes kuba nzima when you are the last to speak, but as the new kid on the block, I guess that always happens. Chairperson, most of my input has been covered, especially by Honorable Sheriff. But, you know, the comment I would like to make is that I was hoping that in this presentation, the department will be able to take us through the milestones of this sanitary dignity program. And that is lacking, because we have to know that from this point up to this point, this is what we have implemented, this is what we have achieved. And the presentation lacks that a lot. In my experience, transparency, accountability, consequence management are very essential in making sure that whatever project or program is a success. And without those things, including monitoring and evaluation, how do you ensure adherence and implementation of whatever policies that you have? Now, my question and my concern is, Chairperson, we hear of all the workshops that have taken place. We hear of a number of people that have taken place in the training. I have not heard of any disabled person that I know on the ground in my constituency who knows about this training. What kind of awareness has been used to make sure that everyone who needs to benefit from this program knows about it? Because
I myself, I work in rural KZN. Ngisem Tubatuba, ngise Chozini, ngisem Shitabuya Lingana. I have never heard of any mention of this kind of program. So who is benefiting from this program? Also, I would like to find out from the department, when working with disabled people, we know that we have AMA special schools within our Department of Basic Education. And my worry is that they are always not included in most programs that are taking place. Now, I want to find out from the department, do they even have a consultation in conjunction with the Department of Basic Education to identify the special schools who would benefit from this program? Because we know that children in special schools, when they reach the age to leave the school, they have nothing to do. So this is an opportunity for them to be able to partake in a valuable and meaningful economic building program. So what kind of steps will they take to make sure that these children from special schools are also included in this kind of project? I'm very concerned as well, Chairperson, when I get a report or a presentation where I am told that there are provinces who have not used their budget, and then we are just told that now they have been asked to provide a program of action to be able to remedy the situation. That is not a consequence that I would expect from the department to provide a solution to provide. There must be consequences. Then we must be told what that remedial program or program of action is to make sure that this does not happen. It is totally unacceptable that money is allocated to provinces and it is not used when there is serious need out there in our communities. And I think lastly, Chairperson, if I am correct, I would like to have a breakdown of this 1,041 participants across provinces that are said to have participated in this workshop. Can we have a breakdown per province that will account for this 1,041 people? Can we also have breakdowns? I think Honorable Sharif have covered me with the breakdowns that I was going to request, especially the one on during COVID, of who benefited, who were provided with sanitary pads during that time. And lastly, Chairperson, it is a request from me that maybe we need a joint meeting where we would have Small Business Development and DTIC and Department of Social Development and Basic Education in the same meeting, so that we are able to find out which department, what role does it play, and how far are they in making sure that this entire program is made a success. Ngibonga kakhulu, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tersile. Any member? Mkweba, Sis Joyce? Uthi angiboni la ku screen.
No, thank you, Chairperson. It's Mom Joyce, ne? I think you have covered everything that I wanted to question the department and even other honorable members. But Chairperson, maybe let me just have this one question. The department was telling us about that some provinces did not benefit on this program, and their reasons was litigation and other things that they mentioned. But now I just want to find out, what is the case now? What is the status quo now? Have they managed to address those litigations, the cooperation within the provinces? What is it that the department is doing to ensure that they do have cooperation with the department? Honorable members, they have raised some of the questions that I wanted to raise, because clearly this program is a good program, but if it does not benefit our people down there, then it's useless. And it cannot benefit our people if there is no monitoring and evaluation of this program. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maluleke. Honorable Mgwebe.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Chair, I think Honorable Members have touched all the issues and questions to the department. And for such, I will wait for the department to respond to some of the issues. And then, if then, you know, the responses are not as satisfactory, then I will come in. Thank you very much.
Okay, all the members are covered, ne? I think the last one, maybe we need to be told why did the department took 3 years, three full years, because this program started in 2018 up until now in 2020, just to do and to finalize the M&E framework. Why did it took the department almost 3 years? Because even now, they have not finalized. They are saying they will finalize it in November. Why in November? Why 3 years? Who is the person responsible to do it? So that person is paid for what every month? Over to you. I don't know, because here I don't see the minister. If the minister is here, minister can come through and can come in, and then DG and other officials, if DG, you'll have to give other colleagues to respond to the questions that were raised by honorable members.
Chair, I'm not sure minister was here, but I know that she was supposed to attend the NCCC. So I'm just checking if she's still here. I'm checking on the participants here, whether she's still here.
I don't see her. Oh, there's, sorry, DG, there's Honorable Carol Piri.
Awesome.
Before you come in. Yeah, I don't see the minister too. Honorable Piri.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine is not, let me say, it can't be a question per se, because already my colleagues has raised a number of questions. But let me appreciate the minute that you have given me to raise or make a recommendation. Chair, based on the report that they've given us, especially or in particular Limpopo, where they're saying the advert was not depriving other, especially women, to participate in the process. Can't the department have a standard advert or requirement in all provinces to say this is a standard advert that you can use, because it's the prerogative of the national department to make it sure that it goes or cascades down to all provinces and all disadvantaged rural areas. So my suggestion is that is there anything that hinders the department to give all provinces one standard advert for the project? And also, if it's not possible, even on the issue of being all provinces having one center, if it's, we are directing it to all nine provinces to be the program be championed in the premier's office, let it be. It must not be different from other, depending on the province, whether it wants it to be in social development or in the premier's office. Can't we have a standard thing in all provinces? So that was my suggestion. I think, Chair, it can assist us and also assist the department to monitor the program. Let me pause there. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Piri. Over to you, DG.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Wow. All these questions, I'm not sure even where to start. Maybe let me start from the end. Yeah, because Honorable Member Piri said we should develop a standard advert so that there could be standardization in all the provinces. I think we've already indicated that the involvement in Limpopo was based on the fact that we already have an advice or maybe framework which says you need to look at 1, 2, 3, 4. But I'm not sure whether in terms of developing a standard advert, because they have their own provincial treasuries, we have the national treasuries. The only thing that you can do is regulate, like give something like a regulation more than giving them an advert. But also in terms of standardization of where to position the program in the provinces, when the programs were introduced, they were introduced to the premiers, but the premiers are the ones who choose, because others then will take it and run with it, but others then will give it to Department of Basic Education and others in social development. And this is what we have been talking about with the team. When they briefed me, I indicated that we need to have it in the same department, so it's easier in that way, because even the minister at the national level, if all of them are in the premiers will report, but if all of them are under social development, then the minister of social development also gets a report. So it's easier for us to engage with the Department of Social Development, and like this site is the premier, this site is basic education, this site is social development. We have noted that, and we are definitely working on that. But the challenge that we would have, that sometimes provinces, once they choose that this is how we're going to do things, that's exactly what they are going to do. The one that raised by the chairperson of 3 years of finalizing the framework, I will request DDG Shoki to talk to that. But also in terms of the question, the recurring question throughout was on the issue of monitoring and evaluation. So it's two-pronged. It's the one on the framework, but also generally whether we're monitoring or not. The presentation that was presented by DDG Shoki.
Yeah, you got us right, DJ.
Yes, because there's a framework and there's also whether are we monitoring or not. Yeah. The presentation that was presented by DDG Shoki, somewhere she indicated that I even had to write letters to the directors generals of the provinces, because when we were monitoring and we realized that either they are not implementing or their challenges, I would write to the DG, because the DG is my counterpart. Where I'll write to them and say, we realize that there's this problem, we're asking you to address this problem, or we're asking you to meet with our officials so that they can assist you with this program. Also, there was an issue of water, whether do we assist in terms of ensuring that there is water, because you can't talk menstrual health without talking the issue of water, access to water. I indicated earlier on that the department, also with the a coalition that they are working with, that coalition also includes the Department of Water and other departments. So already there was a program where we were insisting that tanks of water, where there's no water, tanks of water must be taken to those places where there's no water. But also, I think DDG Shoki also presented about the model toilet that is being like now designed, to say what would be a model toilet that would ensure that young girls' dignity is preserved as they use the toilets, and more especially during the time when they are menstruating. There was also a question from, I think it was Honorable Sherif, who said, is there a process of designing another form of sanitary pads that could be recycled? Yes, there is that process, though now personally as a person I don't know, I felt like, because if you recycle it, that means the young girl has to wash it, and I was looking at, if you take a sanitary pad and which is now, you know, has been used, and we expect these young children to wash them, It's one of those things that I've been discussing, that I think we need to come up with something that will still preserve their dignity, because we might come up with something that solves the problem but still impacts on another problem. So I think there are many challenges that we are facing. But also, I think Honorable Pity, he kept on saying, what are the consequences? What are you doing about those that are not complying? As indicated, that we've written to them. But the challenge is that if the premier has decided that the program is in social development, then we are compelled to work with social development. We can't say, no, 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 don't give us social development because in another department, they in another province, they gave us the Department of Education. On the issue of distribution of the budget, DDG Shoki had presented on that. I think it was on page 7 of the slide. Yeah, I think it was page 7 on the slide. The National Treasury doesn't transfer the money to us to transfer to them. The National Treasury had decided on its own to send the money directly to the provinces. So the National Treasury will not give you money without you having a plan in terms of how you're going to use it. So even those that have then decided not to use the money for the pairs and use it for food parcels, the National Treasury is going to have a finding. The Auditor General is going to find against them. So it will be an audit query, because you cannot divert funds that were given to you for another project to another project. So the National Treasury will definitely, the National Treasury and the AG will find against them. But yes, as a department also, we need to write to them to say, we noticed that you didn't use the money for this. But I think the honorable members understand the relationship between the premier and the minister. You can write to the premier, but you can't tell the premier that I'm going to withdraw the money or whatever. I think those power dynamics would make it difficult for us to sanction, to have serious consequential sanctions against the provinces that have used the money. However, I really want to promise the members and you, Chairperson, that I do write to the provinces. I do follow up to ensure that. But as you know, I've been here for 2 months. So I started getting involved now and pushing and whatever. But I know that it's, as the chairperson has said, that the framework or the policy was approved by government in 2018, but it has now been implemented now. But I think it has started being implemented before, because the National Treasury allocated the funds for 2019, 2020, and 2020-2021. So the issue is those provinces who did not use the money, or those on litigation. As we know, we were talking about it in one meeting, that litigation take up to 3 years sometimes in South Africa. So in the meanwhile, because it's litigation against one budget year. So with this year's budget year, what is it that they are doing? Are they still held on by the litigation of another year? Because these are two different processes. The one that is litigated is 2019-2020 budget. So what's happening with this year's budget? So those are some of the things that I've been looking at. And I promise that we will, in the meantime, meanwhile, the project is with us. Because I think also the problem is that the department sometimes confuses its mandate. Because the department's mandate is regulation, monitoring, and evaluation. And all members have said it very clear that our responsibility is monitoring and evaluation. Actually, the distribution of these sanitary pads, if it was in social development, because social development is, it has got a provincial structure, it would work out easier than if it was in the premier's office. But it would be best if the Department of Social Development was the one that is distributing that. It's one of the things that also I thought the both ministers need to start talking about it. So our role is to regulate in terms of the standards, and you've said it very well, that what is the standard? Everything must be standardized. That is the role of the department. And the role of the department is to monitor that women and young persons, especially girls that are at school, access these things. So I think now it's as if the department has to be involved in distributing and whatever, and yet somewhere, somehow we've lost this. So if we have the standards which we give to everybody else and we monitor and evaluate, I think we'll be able to give a proper report to the portfolio committee. And I request to hand over, unless if there's a question against me, I request to hand over to Tizi Shoki to respond to some of the questions.
I think Tizi, what we'll do as the portfolio committee, if
thank
the members agree with me, we'll have to schedule a meeting whereby we'll invite all the provinces to come and account on this program. So at the end of the day, members will have to talk to that, and our secretary and our staff members must make an application for us to invite all provinces to come and account on this program.
Yes, Chair. With due respect, I request to go to Honorable Ngwenya, because she has said you'll call a meeting with DTIC, DSBD, the Social Development, Department of Basic Education, and our department. I'll also request the portfolio committee to also call that meeting, because in that way it will be clear in terms of the standards, and maybe also include the SABS, because they are the ones that are involved with the standards and all those things. I'm just adding to what you've said, that you'll call the provinces, but I request you to note also the input by Honorable Ngwenya, because she recommended that maybe there should be a meeting, or maybe you should call all of us together with those.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I'll ask DDG Shoki to respond. DDG Shoki?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson and DG and members. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, DDG.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yes, first of all, I thought let me provide background to how the process unfolded. Yes, we started in 2018, but when we started in 2018, we were still conceptualizing on the framework, because we didn't have one. So it took us that period to go through the conceptualization, the consultation, taking it through all the clusters of government, but also taking it through to cabinet. And it was finally approved by 1920 in September by cabinet. Then what we then did in cabinet, in that document, we recommended that we pilot it. And I think we proposed two or three provinces.
DDG, what is 1920?
You can't hear me, Chair?
No, I want to understand 1920.
What I'm saying, Chair, 2018.
Yeah.
2018 to 19, we were conceptualizing. And we were consulting through all the various clusters of the governance structures of government before we could take it to portfolio committee, to cabinet. It was then approved in the next financial year by cabinet. But what we did when we were conceptualizing, we actually requested that, because it's the first time we are implementing this program, that we wanted to pilot it first, and we proposed two or three provinces, if I recall, but we wanted to put it on a test, learn some lessons, and then replicate. Whilst we were still thinking along those lines of a pilot, Treasury went ahead and decided to allocate to all the 9 provinces before this program was even put on a pilot phase, tested, we draw lessons, we then say, these are the things we've learned and we are replicating. It then forced us to then start spreading our wings across all the 9 provinces and make it happen within that short space of time. Having said that, Chairperson, I'm not trying to be to come up with excuses for not implementing, but Chair, I hear members are raising concerns that the department is bloated, but we have a department that does not have structures that are similar to other departments, where we have one director, one assistant director, one deputy. And these people are expected to do all this work in all the 9 provinces, in addition to the work that they are doing in the department, because their work is not only about sanitary, it's they are managers in their respective areas. They deal with all the 365 degrees kind of work that you would expect from every manager. Now, we are doing our level best, and it is for that reason that we have reached out to UNFPA, noting that one, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the finances. We then reached out to UNFPA to say, assist us, partner with us. We do have an MNE framework, but it's a draft MNE framework. We needed to take it forward. We needed to make sure that we do more work and further consult and come up with a final document that we can then have it adopted for purposes of it being internalized and for purposes of it being institutionalized across all the provinces. It is the very draft MNE framework that we are currently using, because it does have indicators, and it is those indicators that we are using to check how provinces are faring and they are reporting to us. Now, pardon us that we had to reach out to UNFPA for support in the absence of you not having that capacity internally and no finances. You have to think out of the box, and the best way that you could do it was to reach out to partners to work with us. And these are the partners that keep us afloat to date as a department in making sure that our mandate is gradually being realized. Let me come to the issue of the 40% procurement. Mr. Boy will talk to the details, but we do have a unit in the department that is actually monitoring the procurement spend across the board in relation to how it favors women and reports to the president. They started off with the COVID-19 relief, and now we're taking it further. In the presentation, we've mentioned that we are developing a training module that is specifically designed to target women, because we are aware that when women are faced with tender processes, no one is prioritizing them. Everybody just go for the tenders and women are left behind. That process is unfolding satisfactorily. We are working with your UN women and private sector. I just don't have the details of the companies that are involved, Business South Africa. They are all helping us to finalize this module that will specifically talk to the terminology, the processes, what women should look for, what they should do, and empower them so that even when we start dealing with the processes post the procurement bill, once it is finalized, women should be ready to respond to any tender that will be arising from government departments, because at this stage we are expecting them to do so, but they're not competent to do so, and we don't have the tools to assist them. For me, I still believe that we are on the track, and we are doing this in partnership with all the relevant service providers that I've mentioned. The issue of Gauteng, my understanding, but they can confirm if whatever we know it's not the right thing, is that this financial year, they've requested for a special deviation from National Treasury to contract directly with the cooperatives, whilst they'll be dealing with other ways of dealing with supply chain processes in the next financial year. But they indicated that they realized a saving, because the pets that they bought this year were much more reasonable when they were distributing. On the basis of the saving that they realized, as everybody was expected to reprioritize to respond to COVID-19, they were able to take those savings and redirect those savings to the whole issue of the food parcels. This did not affect their targets. They convinced us that their targets are still intact and they're still working hard towards the attainment of their targets. I've explained to the issue why we've reached out on the matter of consultants, and We are also advised when we deal with treasury and other structures, even when we ask for money.
Diverted their money for sanitary dignity program to for food passers. That's what you're confirming.
What they had indicated to us, Chair, but we can put it in writing so that we have a formal response from the department. The response from their side was that they had a saving. They did not amend their targets. Their targets are still intact and they're still on track in achieving their targets. But if you do have a saving, let's say you've budgeted 5 rand, but you ended up using 3 rands for the 50 pets that you intended to buy, and you still have your 2 rand outstanding, and there is a pressure somewhere financially, you redirect those resources where they are needed most. However, what we will do, Chair, we will request them to give us a response in writing so that we have a proper response that is arising from the province itself. That will be a response that they themselves can stand by it, as opposed to us speaking on their behalf at this point in time. Now, on the issue of did we distribute during the lockdown? In my presentation, Chairperson, I indicated that because it was a complete shutdown, there were no schools that were operating. Everything had come to a standstill. My words that I used were that this had had unintended consequences in that there was no distribution of sanitary towels to the girls. But because we realized that there was a need out there and we were inundated with specific requests, we then reached out on our own volition to development partners, to private sector, to work with us so that we then respond to those areas where the need was expressed. We worked closely with the Department of Social Development and their minister, and we reached out to shelters for homeless. We reached out to shelters for abused women. The Gauteng Shelter Network actually came and received a box for their own shelters to make sure that they are distributed. And we had to find mechanism of saying, because at that time you couldn't transport, there were no flights, you couldn't go interprovincially. How were we going to make sure that whatever that was left with us could reach the other provinces? And the service providers reached out as far as even KZN, working with the deputy minister, reaching out to persons with disabilities. And I would like to request that we also assist and keep on using the word persons with disabilities and not people living with disabilities, because they too, they've requested that we convey the message to all of us, and we use that terminology at all times. We've reached out to persons with disabilities through the deputy minister, reaching out because she is spearheading that program. So they were not left out, but that was dependent on what was available at that point in time, because we are dealing with donations here. If you can't dictate to the donor that I need X amount because I need to reach out there. Whatever you have, to make do, you cut your cloth according to the size of the, your suit according to the size of the cloth that you're having at that point in time. I've responded to the fact that we are using the draft MNE and the indicators that are there. And then are these options, the recyclable one. I do agree with the DG. I don't want to belabor the point. Even at cabinet, when we were presenting, some of the ministers were very uncomfortable about the issue of using washable pads, especially in rural areas where there's absolutely no water, and the girl child must keep the pad with her for the rest of the day until she gets home, and then struggle to get water, and then wash that sanitary towel for use the following day. Hygienically, that we are not so sure whether it is of good standard to do that. But because we are gradually working with the SABS to develop those standards, these are the areas that we are looking at. At this stage, our focus has been mainly on sanitary towels that are biodegradable. And that's what we are trying to push. But we were told that we shouldn't convince ourselves that even those that are labeled to be biodegradable, that they are indeed biodegradable. The fact that they have glue in them to attach some of their products within the impact on environmental issues. So departments like environmental affairs, water, and science and technology are part of the national task team and are part of the team that is working with us to find a solution. Yes, we were asked if we have women that are manufacturers. Indeed, we have women that are manufacturers. But we had a workshop and a session with them, and the issues that they raised are issues that would require us working with other departments like trade and industry, because the products that they are getting, some of them are not from the South Africa, are products that they get abroad that they must bring, because these are raw products. Some of them they must process here. Even if we were to say we are going to have a manufacturing plant here, we don't have that capacity to set up and to make sure that some of the products that we're getting abroad we can produce here. So that is work that is underway. But what we then did, we dealt with issues of helping them around financial training, non-financial management, business management, all of those issues. But we are in constant contact with them. And some of them opted to even saying at the end of the day, help us to get our products standardized, packaging and branding of our products, which is work that we are on, that we are doing on an ongoing basis with the women. On the issue of consequence management, I think DG responded to it. The last person that must take full responsibility, whether they are disciplining or not, their HODs, would be the MECs of those provinces and the minister. The premier's offices. What we can do now that we do have those that are giving us those action plans to improve, if they're not improving, we need to now decide through the DG, now that we have a DG, to share with the DG of those respective provinces, DG to DG and minister to premier, so that the right interventions in terms of consequence management are done at that level. But we continue to raise an alarm as and when we do our monitoring and evaluation. I will then go through the questions and check if I've left out anything. In the meantime, I will ask Mr. Boy to respond to some of the questions that relate to economic empowerment. Oh, there was also a question whether we are reaching out to children with disabilities. Quintile 1 and 3 includes even farm schools and include those special schools of children with disabilities. I don't see how we can train children with disabilities on this program from a procurement perspective, because these are still children. Our focus is to ensure that there is access to the sanitary products, which is the sanitary towel that the government department has budgeted for and is providing. Madam Ndate Boy, please come in and watch some perusing. Watch some perusing and check me.
Okay, DDG, just wait. In trying to respond, to the question that we have raised in relation to economic transformation and empowerment of our people, you were responding and saying you don't have enough people in your unit, in that unit. And that's why maybe some of the things you are not able to do. Let me read what you have in your department. In your department, good branches, social transformation and economic empowerment. There's a funded post of DDG, social transformation and economic empowerment. One branch coordinator, social transformation and economic empowerment. One personal assistant to social transformation and economic empowerment. And two admin officers. And I see here in your structure, you have two chief directorates, social empowerment and participation. That's how it's written. And the chief directorate. Yeah, economic empowerment and participation. So program, this falls under program 2 of your department. And program 2, you've got six targets altogether for the entire year, 2019-2020. And sanitary dignity is in program two, sub-program social empowerment. So it shows that two targets for each sub-program is in program two. So for us at DDG, the answer that you are giving us, would see those people and unable to do some of the responsibilities, it's not a satisfactory answer. Because for a person like myself, you are not an implementing department. And this falls under program two. So what exactly are all these officials doing in your department? Because now I'm reading, you know, when you responded, I immediately asked the researchers to check for me this your department, go this unit, go see what exactly is happening in this unit. What are these people exactly doing?
Chairperson, the DDG also did not give us the numbers of how many sanitary products were distributed during lockdown.
Yeah, she'll have to respond to that one. I was stopping her because, you know, when sometimes we ask questions and we get our responses from the department, we are listening, but also at the same time we go back to their structures of the department, which is how many officials are there. So what are these officials doing every day?
Chair, Mpiti, yeah.
Honorable Mpiti.
Chair, I just want to add on your question because I think it's a very important question. It was a question I asked last week as well, is to say that when we speak of consultants, in particular in relation to what the department itself has conceptualized and then seeks consultants to assist, I asked a very important question to say that what are the roles of the officials in the department? Because that is where the you know, we didn't get an answer last week. And again, it's coming up this week, Chair, through your question, is to say that what are the roles and responsibilities of officials within the department? Because it seems that every time that questions come up in relation to M&E, in relation to conceptualization of different elements of the department's work, there seems to be no responsible person. So I think it's important because it also speaks directly to the issue of last week, but also this week, who are those officials? We need to know what they are doing. I would recommend, Chair, that perhaps maybe the DDG, through the DDG, can send us an updated list of the organogram together with the roles and responsibilities as they link to the different projects and programs of the department so that we are able to nail down who the people who are involved with these particular projects are and why is it that they are not doing what they are supposed to be doing.
And the purpose of this branch, according to what they wrote, they say is to manage policies and programs that mainstream the social transformation and economic empowerment of women in South Africa. They say the functions is to ensure policies and programs that mainstream the social empowerment and participation of women. Two, ensure policies and programs that mainstream women's equality in the public sector and eliminate gender-based violence. To ensure policies and programs that mainstream the economic empowerment and participation of women. And then there is funded posts. I'm reading what they have. There's a DDG, There's a branch coordinator. There's a one personal assistant, two admin officers, and then when you go to the two directorates, there's a chief directorate for social empowerment and participation. There's a chief directorate for economic empowerment and participation. And then here, when you read who are here, who is here, ne? You have a chief director, economic empowerment and participation. You have a director, economic empowerment. You have a deputy director. You have an assistant director. We have a senior secretary. All these officials are doing what? And then when you go to a chief directorate, social empowerment and participation, same thing. We have a chief director. We have a chief director. We have a director. We have a deputy director. We have an assistant director. We have a senior secretary. So there is not enough personnel. What are they doing? If today they are not able to answer us, maybe we need to be given our response in writing. Because you know what we have seen now of late, it's like members of parliament are not doing their job. We're not doing our oversight. So when we are getting the response, sorry, Didi, when we are getting response, you know, you ask yourself, okay, that's why I wrote to the researchers that let them get me this. Over to you, Didi.
Thank you, Chair. Didi Jishoki will have to respond to some of the questions, but we will definitely have to give you extensive information in writing. And noting that yourself and Honorable Mpiti were worried about the responses that we sent to you, but I think now the questions are very clear. You have listed the structure, you have indicated the organogram. Now you need a report on all of them. What are they doing every day when they wake up and come to work? What is it that they are doing? And that is DDG Shoki's a branch. So I think she can be able to respond now, but also indicate whether she will respond to all the questions or she will respond in writing. DDG Shoki? DDG Shoki?
Okay, thank you, Chair. I've been battling to hear some of the words on your part, DG. You were breaking up. But yes, Member Sharif is correct. I did say, let me pause and go through the document and check which questions did I not respond to, whilst requesting that we afford Mr. Boyd the opportunity to respond to some of the economic empowerment related questions. That was my request. But also now that the question is being asked again, I will request that we provide written responses. We will start with the Gauteng one and ask them for a written response that we will share with the members of the portfolio committee. We will have to go back and check in terms of the distribution that we made during COVID-19. How many did we reach out and where exactly? But like I was saying, I know that it was mostly around Gauteng and it was KZN because Footprints Foundation had to go there personally. But this is not sanitary products that were procured on the part of government. These are products that we managed to secure because we were concerned and we were caring for those young girls who were making calls for the government to be responsive to their needs in those particular areas at that point in time. It is true, Chairperson, the schools were shut down. Not even a single person could have access to the schools. And I don't think it was a planned thing, The whole thing of alert levels was just introduced as one of those emergency measures to curb the spread of the virus. But I doubt if everybody else did note at that point that this will have those unintended consequences. So that part I will plead with members to understand and know that we had to do whatever that we could, because we felt that as part of a caring and responsive government, we needed to mobilize, and we mobilized resources to the best of our ability and reached out within what was in our capable hands. So we will put our responses in writing. I was indicating that because the question was, we do have capacity, why do we go for the MNE? I need to indicate that this unit, CEP, doesn't have a chief director. It only has a director and this deputy and the assistant in that particular unit that deals with the sanitary program. As we speak, we're not even going to fill that chief director post because of the budget cuts effected by Treasury on the part. So we have to make do with these three officials in the department beyond just the sanitary program. Everything else that requires the director to do from a management point, financial management, human resources, risk management, everything, this person will have to make do in that unit with the two people that he's got. But we will see how best we, as we continue to look at our structure in the department and to reposition ourselves in terms of what exactly are we supposed to be doing, we'll continue to engage and be guided by the DG as well on what is the strategic posture of the department in strengthening the work that we are doing. The rest, Chair, I will revisit them and give it to you in writing as a department. But I will ask Mr. Boy where he can to provide the responses, verbal responses, where we don't have the facts, that we plead with members to go back and get the kind of information that you would like to have and provide it to yourself. Chairperson, if it's permissible.
Okay. Okay, can the other gentleman respond?
Prince, okay. Mr. Bruce. Okay.
Okay, thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm not going to be very long because my DG and DDG has already covered lots of ground. The only possible areas where I will respond directly is with regard to the number of requests which you have directed. But maybe perhaps generally just to indicate that in our presentation around interventions that have been carried out to date, we really wanted to indicate that a number of initiatives have been undertaken by the department to promote the economic empowerment of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. I think a direct question posed arising from there, because we did indicate that we work in collaboration and we have partners, was whether if we could outline the form and shape of partnerships that we have with the United Nations bodies like UN Women and UNPF, which is the United Nations Population Fund. It's really around how better can we do awareness that would really bring the targeted groups, right, into the value chains as we have outlined. Now, the approach was really to do first things first. Firstly, we had to target them through provinces. And we also had to ensure that in our operating model, then provinces will also therefore bring districts, which is really like your local government and a very better place in terms of where service delivery takes place. Now, what we've managed to do in the two financial years that we outlined was really to reach out and outline and position, you know, those opportunities within those value chains. And I think pretty much was that. But at the same time, we also wanted to identify areas where we can go back and intervene either in the form of getting better support or maybe perhaps getting certain businesses assistance through our networks And when we say networks, we are talking about bringing other government departments on board. To mention just a few, your trade and industry, small business, because they're very crucial or critical in this area of development. And also tapping on the various implementing agencies that fall within the spheres of those government departments. And I've mentioned the likes of FIDA, I've mentioned the likes of CIFA, and I've also mentioned the likes of SABS, which was crucial in terms of providing training around the standards and other stuff. The other question arising from there was the collaboration that we also indicated through the UN Population Fund, where we indicated that we had to carry or do what we call online training. I think the question was quite direct and also very fundamental. And it really like was around the fact that are we sure that using online, therefore we're reaching the township, the rural, and also maybe perhaps, you know, the poor of the poorest, where our mandate is located mainly. I think the response to that was that as much as training was planned before COVID, the only training that we've managed to do thus far had to take place during COVID. So there was a trade-off there, which I'm sure one will therefore understand that given that the country was under lockdown, and I think we're under lockdown 3, and we really wanted to pilot, you know, this type of training, we had to resort to a measure of going online. We are in a position to provide breakdowns in terms of who attended, in terms of business names and the people that run those businesses, which were all women. But I think where we might have a challenge is the breakdown in terms of the provincial representation, in terms of the geographic location, so that we're able therefore to measure, you know, from a point of view of where exactly did they come from. But I'm sure we can really provide some further response with regards to beef up, you know, a response to that question. The other question was, I think, in relation to our agency, the NYDA, if whether we are partnering with them. I realize that from the presentation, we've omitted to mention them because they were part of some of the awareness training that we've done. And also, it was really very, like, sort of, you know, pointed in the sense that we did that from a point of view that they are responsible in terms of ensuring that there's economic inclusion of young people. And in those trainings, like as I've indicated, we came up with what we call ready to trade list. And the majority of them, if I'm not mistaken, but facts will always like sort of back us up and provide that list, would be youth or young people. So I think at a point where basically we have now identified that they need a longer training, some of them, to really to be capacitated to participate in the various value chains. And that's where now NYDA would come on board in terms of looking in terms of how to better support them, both financial and non-financial. Sorry, I missed that point, Chair.
Mr. Prince, it's only now that NYDA will come on board.
No, we're talking about that. We're at a point where now we are working on what we call ready to trade list, which is really a culmination of businesses or enterprises that we would have identified in terms of their needs when we were visiting provinces. I indicated that NYDA did participate in certain provinces where we're doing awareness and training, but I cannot vouch at this present moment in terms of whether they did manage to like sort of, you know, connect us or send the representatives as we're going to various provinces. But I recall that in provinces like Northwest, they had a representative. And I also recall that in provinces like Northern Cape. But that detail we can provide. The other point in terms of the question which was asked, I think it was more of a request to then say, because we mentioned that we reached out to more than 1,041 participants, can we provide a list, a breakdown in terms of the beneficiaries or people or businesses or enterprises that attended. And I think that one we can like sort of, you know, send the information as requested. And the other one, I'm not too sure. Yes, there was also a request in terms of if we could provide a list of all manufacturers in the space, as well as suppliers, including distributors, and across the value chains, as we had presented. And in that list, we should also therefore denote the geographic location and also the pricing that they put to their products. And I think that could be done. I'm not too sure if I've covered everything, but like as I said, both my DG and DG.
Tell us, how did you, have you ever identified also people in the rural areas? Because my concern was, in fact, our concern is that it seems as if you are focusing mainly on the urban areas. What about rural?
Okay. I must indicate, Chair, that all the provinces that we visited, our coordination was in highly dependent on the provinces, right, to reach out to districts as well as local CS. And I must also indicate that if one has to take the geographic location of certain provinces, they're very like sort of, you know, rural, like your Northwest, the Limpopo. So we were not really just targeting metros or cities. We were in different locations at different times. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you are going to finish us with the list. So that I think one of the members said, if you can provide us with the list so that you can know exactly who are those people and where. In each in all provinces, I think DG, the other question that I'm not sure whether it was responded to, the discrepancies in terms of allocation of funds. I think Honorable Masigo spoke about Northern Cape, where we saw that their allocation instead it was decreasing, started in Slambe at 10 million, if I'm not mistaken, and it went down to something like 4 or 3 million. I'm not sure whether that was answered.
No, but I think it might be answered by the fact that with National Treasury, if they give you funds and you don't use them, next budget year, they don't allocate you the same amount because they think you don't have the capacity to utilize the money. So that's the sanction that I referred to earlier on, that the challenge is that as a department, we may not be able to punish provinces that do not comply, but National Treasury has a way of dealing with them. And then also the fact that National Treasury will reduce the budget, but the Auditor General will then have a finding in terms of not having used the money. So I think that is the a biggest consequence, because no department or no province want to have finding against itself.
Okay, so do you think there's an opportunity for you maybe to assist them on how then they can make sure that they utilize that money? Because you see, it's the people who suffer if our departments are not able to deliver is the poor people, the people who are in need, were supposed to benefit from those services. Is there a possibility that maybe you can assist as a department when doing monitoring and evaluation? Because obviously when you do monitoring and you evaluate and you see that maybe this province is lacking, what remedial things or maybe corrective measures or whatever assistance that you provide, because Department of Women must have a concern that no province must not deliver on this program.
Yes. I think yes, I think DDG should call me. I think Northern Cape, I think Northern Cape and Northwest, the two provinces that I wrote to, Then that means the next thing now it will be we need to have a meeting with the relevant DG so that we can be able to assist them if they need assistance.
Okay.
I will definitely follow up with the province, and I will report the next time when we meet.
Okay, and honorable members, we still have minutes. Can I get chance if there's anybody wants to ask any clarity? If there's nothing, then we can continue. I see there's a hand of Masondo. I don't know whether it's a mistake. I see Honorable Sheriff, and I see Honorable Masondo and Honorable Songwa's hands are up. Or is it by default?
No, Masondo is covered.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgotten to put it.
Oh, okay. Honorable Sheriff.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must admit that the answering of some of the questions were unsatisfactory and involved a lot of hyperbole when we asked simple questions. I would like to propose that the department forwards the responses within 48 hours. That way we have the information quickly and we don't wait too long to get answers from some of these very important questions that we focused on, most specifically including why the department does not have capacity to deal with monitoring and evaluation when they have so many directors. It begs the question, you have so many directors with no capacity, and noting that the budget is spent mostly on compensation of employees. So just keep that in mind. So, Chairperson, if I can request that we get these answers in 48 hours, that would be by Thursday or Friday morning. Thank you.
Okay. Can honorable members also assist us in terms of what I said before in relation to we are going to schedule a meeting whereby we'll invite provinces to come and account on this program specifically of on sanitary dignity a program on why and why are they not delivering, and I want to get your views, honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that is a good suggestion. I support it, and at least we must make sure that we fast track it so that we can get really what is it that is happening in provinces in terms of this program. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
I support your proposal 100%.
Okay, thank you very much, Ma'am Sengwa. And then we'll also consider the one Honorable Delisile proposed, that we need to have maybe a joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, Basic Education, and what question?
Chair, and Small Business Development.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. So I think that one also... can I get your views, honorable members?
Yes, Chairperson, and also I did ask for a list of suppliers, manufacturers, and distributors broken down by demographics, as well as how much each province is paying per pad. So what is the cost involved in this?
Yeah, that one they must give us in writing. No, if there's no other thing, honorable members, we are done with this item. Thank you very much, DG, and your officials. I think we're done with your report. We'll be awaiting the reports that are outstanding as per the decision of the meeting today. You can now leave our meeting, it's fine.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, all the members. Bye-bye.
Bye. We've got in our agenda, I have also included the report that was referred back to us of the NYDA by the House. If you remember, honorable members, that report we went to present to the House and it was referred back to us. But in terms of what exactly as the committee we should look at, there were no terms written terms of references from the Speaker's office. Remember, when we deal with reports are being referred to the portfolio committee by the Speaker's office. So we haven't received them. So that that's why I felt that no. Remember, it was before recess. So we, at least as the portfolio committee, we need to table it as to report back to the portfolio committee, so that remember, it's not us only who was dealing with the NYDA issue. We were a subcommittee jointly with the NSOP. So the NSOP, in terms of what I was advised yesterday by the managers of the committees and following the parliament's processes. And they said we can't deal with it because NSOP haven't tabled their report to the House. But now, because what we need to do now is to refer back the report to the Speaker, so that the Speaker will be the one who will make a determination whether they withdraw the report, or whether, because it's the Speaker who's got powers to do that. So the Speaker will then today refer back the report to the Speaker, and because till now we can't deal with it, because NCOP, we have done our part. So NCOP, they must then finalize their part. And then the Speaker will take it from there, whether they accept or start the process down, it's up to the Speaker on what is the process moving forward. So that what was important is for us as the portfolio committee to report back on the processes, on what has happened. Our report was not adopted by the House that day. I think it was the 3rd of September, was not adopted by the House. So, and there's nothing that we can do for as long as NCOP haven't dealt with their report in the House. What they've done, Bona, they have adopted the report in the select committee, but they haven't go and present their report to the House. So what we advised yesterday is to refer the report back back to the Speaker, so that the Speaker and the NSOP can then take it, they can take it from there. But at least it's no longer our responsibility now. Can I get comments so that we can, so after today we'll write to the Speaker so that the Speaker can then move forward with the item.
Hi Chair, it's PT here. Yeah.
Yes.
Just to get some clarity on the referral back to the Speaker, I'm just trying to understand, when the Speaker referred it back to the committee, what was her indication of what the report or what the committee should do with the report, firstly? And now that we are referring it back to the Speaker, because as you say that the process has concluded from our part, the committee sent the report to the House didn't adopt the report. So we are referring it back with, I'm just trying to understand, we are just referring it back to the Speaker, and then basically we are saying that the following process then is up to the speaker, if that is my understanding. Because my recommendation would be that obviously we cannot deal with the terms of reference of what needs to happen to the report. And effectively, the speaker would have...
What I was saying, we don't have the terms of reference. Remember, the report was withdrawn by the chief whip of the majority in the House. You remember? And we... other parties were saying we adopt, other parties say no, and then we voted, and then it was referred back to us. But Tina, we don't have anything in writing on what exactly were we supposed to do as the portfolio committee. So what we are saying now, because what the manager for committees was explaining to me was that in terms of the procedures of parliament, you can't deal with the report as the portfolio committee now, you ask, because it was a subcommittee. Remember, it was a subcommittee who was dealing with the issue of NYDA. But NSOP, as we speak now, they haven't tabled their report to their house. So we cannot start a process when they haven't finalized their process. Because again, we were supposed to have adopted our reports concurrently, but they haven't even dealt with it. But now we're done. So that's why we are saying we'll write back to the speaker that as the portfolio committee, we are unable to deal with the report based on the process NSOP has not yet unfolded, and then we refer back the matter to the speaker. So the speaker is up to the speaker then, who will say, honorable members, whether they still want us, whatever terms of reference that they would have decided on must be asked as the portfolio committee to deal with, or whether they are going to establish an ad hoc committee, it's up to the speaker. That one is not for us. Because I can say, let's establish an ad hoc committee. It's not me. I don't have those powers to say we must establish an ad hoc committee. Those decisions are done by the speaker. It's not me, not us. So that is the advice that I was given yesterday. But at least today, Tina, we've moved forward and we'll write back to the speaker. And then the speaker will then talk to the chairperson of the NSOP, and together they will then make their own determination on what needs to be done. Whether they establish the ad hoc committee or whether they give us those terms of reference, no, it's not longer in our hands. I hope I've tried to explain to honorable members what I was advised before I put the item in the agenda.
Chairperson?
Yeah,
thank you, Chairperson. I think maybe we don't have to say we are referring back the report back to the speaker. What we have to do as a committee, we acknowledge that we have received, I'm not sure whether we have received a report that our report has been referred back to us. But as a committee, firstly, we don't have terms of reference. And secondly, is the issue that you are saying about the NCOP, that they have not yet exhausted their process. So we acknowledge the report, and we request for the terms of reference, and also highlighting the process of the NCOP, so that we are not seen as if we are just throwing it back, forth and back to the speaker. It's my suggestion, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether I'm correct. Thank you.
No, I think you're right. You have helped us and on how then to draft our letter, and we'll do that. Thank you very much, Honorable Maduleka.
Thanks, Chair. It's in PTR. Yeah. I just want to second that particular proposal, because I think it's important that we as was said, that we are not seen as, you know, being petty in a way, because we can't just refer it back. I think we need to put those reasons so that it can be clearly stated where the committee's position is. So I just want to second that. Thank you.
Okay. We are right, Maluleke, because we don't have anything in writing. So thank you very much, honorable members. We'll then write a letter to the speaker. And then from our side, I think we have done what we were supposed to have done, honorable members. And thank you very much for your attendance and for the work that you have done during that time of the NYDA a process. And thank you, honorable members. And I think the other thing, when coming to this briefing that was done by the department, all of us have seen where are the loopholes and where are the challenges. I think what we need to do, I'm not sure whether in this term we do have a slot in Flambe, in Eliswa, of doing oversight, because I think what we were supposed to do is to go and do oversight in one of the provinces, especially in a province where whether it's the one that is not performing well, or in one of the provinces where corruption was identified, and something that we will look at with the staff members and see on how then do we deal with that issue. But we are going, definitely we are going to invite provinces to come and report on this program, Sanitary Dignity Pact. Because there's a lot of money that was allocated by Treasury for this program. So we can't just leave it like that as the portfolio committee. So it's important that we do a schedule for that that meeting. We'll look at the calendar and make an application to the House Chairperson. And then when you are granted, we'll inform members that we are granted, and for also doing oversight, we'll also make an application and see to it that we do go and do oversight over and choose a province where we are going to, whether one or two provinces, and check what is happening with this program. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think we've come to the end of our meeting. Our next meeting, I think, according to the program, is on Friday, ne, Nelly?
Yes, sir. It's
Friday, ne?
Yes, sir.
Who's coming? Is it CGE or who?
CGE on first quarter report.
Oh, okay. Okay, our next meeting is on Friday. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and goodbye.
Bye. Nelly, so you must make sure we write that letter, ne?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Bye, ma. Bye. Bye.
My draft is off.
Okay.
My draft is actually too many. We won't.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Chair. So phone number. Okay, you set up.
Stop.
Sure.
Bye, Chair.